So if you would, Gary, please come on up and please fill us in. And thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your leadership this morning, Jeff. It's so good to be with you. I'm Gary Furch. This is the better half of the team, Donna Furch. Donna, stand up. Let everybody say hi to you this morning. We are just so pleased to be here. We've been enjoying the hospitality of Wes and Connie Becker. I think you know them. Do you, anybody not know them here? But we always enjoy them. We've been enjoying their hospitality for 40 years, I think, or 30 years or something. Anyway, we've known Wes and Connie for a long time. They've supported us in our mission work for so long that we don't even remember when they started. But Don and I have worked with New Tribes Mission in the past for 20 years. And for the past 18 years now, we've been working with an agency called Friends in Action International. Now, this was started as a helps organization for New Tribes missionaries that are working in the remote jungle areas of the world and trying to reach village people, people that have their own very own distinct language. And we've been trying to help them build homes, airstrips out in the jungle. We've been building a radio station that's broadcasting in Bolivia, a riverboat that goes on medical missions outreach. And we work with people that are in kind of the remote areas of the world. That's what Donna and I do. And for 18 years now, we've been in Bolivia doing that. So we're pleased to be here with you and represent a little bit about Bolivia and what's going on there today. So I got some pictures I'm going to show in a minute. Not yet, but if we got them going. We've had some technical difficulties. We might not be able to see them. So I'll just tell you, try to paint a picture with words. But I want to say this, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving week. Well, praise the Lord. We got a lot to be thankful for. A new building, I would say, huh? It even smells new. When we came in last night, Wes said, oh, you got to see this building, Gary. And we came in and it had that new car smell. Yeah. New building smell. That was fun. You know, wow. What things we have to be thankful for that's happened this past year since last Thanksgiving. And that's what I wanted to share this morning with you all about are things that I have to be thankful for. And there's a lot. There's a lot of things that we have to be thankful for. Guys, did we get those pictures at all going? Okay. Let me just start by praying, okay? Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless our time together this morning. Father God, I just want to thank you most of all for Jesus. Because of him, we are here today. This is his body. This is his church. He's the head. And Father, we just fall into place wherever you want us to serve. And we pray, Father, this morning that you would bless our hearts through your word, that your word would speak to our hearts, and that you would help us to grow by grace. According to the things that we hear this morning, I pray that they would be quickened, they would be made alive, and that you would be at work, Father, for your glory, for our edification, that you would just be happy and pleased and blessed in our worship to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I miss Pastor Chad. I bet you miss him too. But I always look forward to coming here. He is so bubbly. He is so excited. And he just encourages me, you know, my spirit is lifted from this high to this high when I leave. And I'm on my way home and I think, man, I think I'm running on Pastor Chad's adrenaline. Got the first picture up there. Things I'm thankful for. Okay, this is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mary. Okay, Mary is right there. This is Luke. This is Matt. And this is Mark, this is John. Those are our five kids. That was taken a couple weeks ago, so it's pretty fresh. Now, John's a preacher. John is a preacher, and he did Matt's wedding 2 weeks ago. Matt just got married. He's the last one to tie the knot of our five kids. Now, Mark was a missionary in Nepal, and he and his wife, Chris, spent a total together of about 7 years there. If you combine her years with his years, it's 7 years. But they met there, and they got married, and they tied the knot, 3 years ago or so. They came home from Nepal, got married, And now they're raising kids in Columbus, Ohio. This is who I'm thankful for. This is my family. This is my kids. And Luke is over in Vietnam, of all places. He married a Vietnamese girl, and they have a baby. And he brought the baby home for the wedding, and all the family got to make a big to-do over little Lyra girl. And Lyra is just sweet. She's just 6 months old. And we love her, of course. And Luke's wife, Nan, is Vietnamese. She's a believer in Christ. And there's not that many Vietnamese people that's over in Vietnam living and believers in Christ. Now, Luke met Nan at a coffee shop some years ago. He's been there going on 7 years now. He's been a missionary, went as a missionary, and he teaches English as a second language. But he's done a pretty good job over there, so he's in a great big school right now that's a university. They have classes for kids all the way through university, and they asked him to be an administrator in the place. So he's not doing much teaching anymore, and he wants to be able to share his life with these students so that they get to the point and they ask him about what he believes in, what his belief, his faith is in. Because a lot of people in Vietnam are Buddhists, and Luke and Nan are believers in Christ, and that makes all the difference. And he's there to tell people all about that. Now, the other guy, Matthew, who was just married, he spent almost three years in Amman, Jordan. So Mary's been on short-term trips to Bolivia with us. She's married to a preacher in St. Louis. And we're just very pleased with these guys because they're all walking with Jesus. And that's what means the most to us. That's why I'm thankful for these guys, is because they keep me in line. It's nice to have some kids that will say, hey, Dad, that's not right. You should be doing this. Okay, I gotcha. You know, and so they keep us going. Let's look at the next slide. Things that I'm thankful for this morning. We're having some software difficulties. So if we don't get through all these pictures, at least you've seen the fam, okay? And I hope we can get through some of these, just the first few at least, because they're really important. I'm thankful for Donna. That's us. You can go to the next one if you can get it there, okay? This is the country of Brazil, and this is Bolivia. We've been working in Bolivia for 18 years, but also in Brazil. And the place that we're at is right at this tip, right there. You can see there's a tip, kind of like an arrow tip in Bolivia, and it's right on the border with Brazil. So sometimes we travel down to Manaus and go over to our location right here in the northern point of Bolivia. Sometimes we fly into Brasilia, and that's what we did with Jessica last year. Jessica came with us. We flew all the way down through to Brasilia and then over to Bolivia, and we took a truck. A missionary came and got us, picked us up in his truck, and after a four-hour truck ride, we got there, and we got to the edge of Bolivia, and there was a big river to cross. So we got a boat taxi, and they took us across that evening. It was just getting dark. And we made it. We made it, and Jessica made it with us. Let's see the next slide. Very grateful that we have Brazil to travel through to go to Bolivia these days, because Bolivia is in a state of political turmoil. They have had a change of presidents. Now, I'm thankful for Jessica. Donna and I are both thankful for Jessica. She came and made a difference this past year in Bolivia. And not only that, but she represented you guys. She brought money from you guys. And she bought a bunch of shoes for these orphans down there. And they were just going nuts buying shoes and so happy, big smiles. They had never had such nice shoes. They always wear flip-flops. And here she comes and she buys them tennis shoes and nice shoes and things they never dreamt they would have. And it was such a blessing to know that you guys we're partnering through Jessica to help these orphans in the northern tip of Bolivia. These guys are coming from families who have just dropped them off at the orphanage door, and they come from such varied backgrounds, but they're all a sad, sad story. And there's 70 of them. There's actually 77 orphans now in the orphanage. So Jessica came with us to do orphan work. Now, that's not all she did there. Let's look at the next picture. If we can get through some of these, just very first ones at least, we'll see some of what Jessica did. Now, when we went through Brazil, here she is. There's the shoes. You see? There's some of those shoes. And I know you've probably seen some pictures from her and the shoes. But these kids are happy. Believe me, they are happy campers in this picture. And we had such a good time going in and watching them buy shoes. They got to pick out the very shoes that they wanted in the shoe store there in town. We work in a city called Guayramirim. It's a city of 55,000. It's the supply town for all around that area. And so they have a shoe store there where we could, and the dealer there gave us a good price on these shoes, didn't they, Jessica? He brought the price down for you. I think it's because of your smile at him. But they brought the price down, and the kids were so happy to, and that made it so that everybody, and you know, at the very end, let's go to the next picture. Do we have one more? At the very end, the staff of this is the dining hall of the orphanage back here, and Jessica's doing some teaching to the older kids. But the staff that's in this said, you know, we kind of like to have shoes too. And so there was enough to go around that they got to have shoes too. And this orphanage staff, the ladies, they cook all day long. They work long, long hours. Donna's closest friends, and we just love them to death. And yet they're in need just like the orphans are. The average pay for a professional in Bolivia, I'm talking about the highest paid professional, is about $600 a month. The normal pay for somebody's not a professional is probably $300. They're living on $300 a month. So you can see they don't have a lot of expendable income to buy shoes, you know, and things like that that's left over. So they wear flip-flops a lot, and they wear flip-flops out. So we're just grateful to have a part. Your church is our partners with us, and we're partners with the Bolivians. The Bolivians are volunteering, and they are doing the work of evangelism and church planting down there. And, you know, when Jessica went, she didn't get to eat like she normally eats here. She was kind of out on a limb. She was kind of testing the waters, I think. But we didn't have the food to offer that we have here. And she's on a special diet already. I don't know if you know that, but she's on a special diet that she has to have medically. And yet, I didn't hear one word of complaint. Did you hear her complain, Donna? She didn't even complain about no air conditioning in her room that she stayed in at the orphanage. And at first, we couldn't figure out how to bring her hot water for a shower. So not only did she not have air conditioning, didn't have hot water for a shower, didn't get to eat her normal fare, and yet not one word of complaint. And look at her. Does she look unhappy? She's pouring her life into these kids. Man, this is really something. These kids just loved her. Here's a tall, blonde lady from America spending time with them. They never see a blonde lady except for Donna once in a while. And I guess some other Americans filter down. But that was really special to them, that this young gal from America would take time to teach them how to learn a little English, to speak some English. I don't know if they diagrammed any sentences or not. Anybody know? Anybody here professional diagrammers of sentences? Well, if you are, you can go to Vietnam and work with my son Luke over there. He's looking for those, by the way. Anyway, let's go on to the next slide. And while we were there, we were able to distribute some radios. This team had come earlier. This team from St. Louis brought 400 Galcom radios to Bolivia. Galcom radios. We have one on our table back there. They're little green radios. And let's go on to the next slide, because we're going to show you some of those radios, these guys holding them. And these Galcom radios cost about $30 a piece in total. But that's the radio right there. It's green. It's just like the same color as a shirt. This is Iver. He's the president of their local missions committee that they have just formed. Five churches, small little evangelical churches, came together and said, okay, we're going to take guys out of each of our churches and we're going to form a missions team. And Iver happens to be the president of the missions committee there. And he's wearing this because he's listening to the radio station that's broadcasting from the antenna, just a little ways away, a few miles away, while he's doing work on the mission property there. We have a missionary guest house with a long lot that goes down to the river where the riverboat is moored. And so he's there listening to Christian music as he's doing his work. He's actually in labor right here. Let's go on to the next one. Show you some more of these Galcom radios. These are really special. Now, we had people that came together and donated for these radios, and we were able to purchase 400 of these and take them through Brazil to Bolivia. And we had to have all eight of those people you saw on that first slide help us bring them in, because when you go through customs, if you have maybe 50 radios, they will just wink at it. But if you have 400 in your suitcase, that's a different story. So we had eight people volunteer, 50 radios each, and we all came through. They didn't say a thing. Didn't charge us a thing for those radios. Then we collected them all. Donna and I took them on into Bolivia. This is Pastor Saul Peralta. He loves this radio station. By the way, this is the radio shack way out in the jungle. We've cleared the jungle out, and we built this. It's just remarkable, the guys that the Lord sends our way to get this work done. I would never have dreamt that you could build a FM radio station that would broadcast almost 100 miles away and build it in the jungle and erect it 300 feet tall. The tower goes 300 feet here. Couldn't believe it. Let's see the next slide. And not only that, but it broadcast in Bolivia, in Spanish, in Portuguese. It jumps across the river. And these guys are Pacas Novas people in the tribe that's one of the villages of 13 that are scattered throughout the Amazon jungle in Brazil. So just within this 100-mile radius, we have the Pacas Novas people just listening to the broadcast in Spanish, but we also take time during the week to broadcast in Portuguese, which is the national tongue of Brazil. But also, the missionary has taken some time to record different gospel lessons and have them broadcast over the radio so that they can pick them up at 4 o'clock in the morning before they go off to the jungle for their work that they do of gathering Brazil nuts for their cash crop. And so these guys, they're just tickled pink. And so we were just down there just 3-4 weeks ago. We came back home for the wedding, Matt's wedding. And we were so grateful. We had such a full experience down there when we were in Bolivia and Brazil. And we went over here to the Pacas Novas, and the missionary says, Gary, we need some more radios. And I said, Tom, we brought 400 radios. You need more? And he says, yeah, we need more, at least 100 more. I said, okay. So that gave me a challenge. That challenged my heart. I came back. We got 50 radios already that we're going to take back to this people group. Now, there's 13 villages, and they all like to have their own radio because not only does it receive the radio broadcast, but it also has the complete Bible in Spanish, the complete Bible in Portuguese. All they have to do is push the right button to get the Portuguese language. They can listen to their Bibles as they're out gathering Brazil nuts in the jungle. So they love that. And, you know, they have solar-powered radio. It's a solar-powered radio that has rechargeable batteries so that in the daytime when it's in the sunlight, it charges the batteries up. They can listen to it all night long. And it's just a joy. It's just a joy to have part. I mean, who would have dreamt that radio could reach these Pacas Novas people and that they would be so happy to have their own little radio like that? But they are. They're just thrilled. Let's keep going with these pictures. As fast as you can find one, we'll put them up now. Okay, we'll just keep going through. Now, I put another picture of this up here because Though we come through Brazil and go up to the top of Bolivia sometimes, we also fly from Miami way up here over Cuba, over Venezuela, and we land in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, which is right about there. And when we land in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, then that we had a challenge because we've got 600 miles yet to go through the jungle due north. So let's see the next picture. I'm going to show you Greg Dahl. Greg Dahl is our pilot. Who's a pilot here? Who has done piloting? Anybody? I heard you say you're a pilot. And I know Wes is a pilot. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? Piloting is a special skill. You want to have a guy that knows his business of piloting when he's flying you around. This is Greg Dahl. He's on board our El Misionero. That's not the airplane, by the way. That's the riverboat. And he does work on our riverboat. He helps us with the solar panels that we have on that and our electrical system. Let's look at the next picture, though. I want to show you his airplane that he flies around for us. A few years ago, Greg asked me, Gary, we have this donor that wants to give us an airplane. And we're wondering if we got enough work to justify having this beautiful donation. That's a twin-engine airplane called the Angel. It was developed and built by an engineer who was formerly a missionary in South America. He came home. He's a graduate of Laterno University, and he got Laterno professors and students to help him design this aircraft and build it. Boy, it is sleek, and it is powerful, and it uses avgas. It doesn't use the high-tech fuel that you need for a turboprop. So this plane still uses avgas, which they have plenty of in Bolivia. That's all they use there. So let's see the next picture. It's a lovely plane. It takes off, and Greg seems to go straight up. And I'm so happy that he's flying that and not me, because we go fast. When we go on that 600-mile trip, if we get a good tailwind, we make it in 3 hours. 3 hours from Santa Cruz up to Guayra Medina over all this jungle. And we're so happy we're not on the river, because on the river it takes 12 days to do the same thing. On the river, or if you happen to want to try it on bus, we took the bus once, and it took 3.5 days by bus to get through the jungle. It's a story in itself. I'm not going to take time now. Let's look at the next pictures. But we're thankful. This is something. I am thankful for the Angel aircraft. I'm thankful for the donors. This came from Kansas City. A doctor in Kansas City donated that plane to South American Mission, and it's in full-time service there. And boy, we use it every time we go down there. When we fly into Santa Cruz, we'll be on that plane coming up. Now, we have a choice to make, either going through Santa Cruz or going through Brazil. And, you know, it's always according to what's happening in the political climate. Will there be problems in the city, or should we go through Brazil? And so we weigh all the circumstances before we make the decision. But we love flying with Greg. Greg is an excellent pilot. He really knows his stuff. Not only does Greg fly, this is Greg, but along with Julio, they've been our main radio techs. And this is the brand new transmitter that we just received in Bolivia last month. It came through customs. I asked you to pray this radio out of customs, because if they nab it, it'll be there for maybe 1 or 2 years. That's happened to us before, radio parts. But Greg says, I found this importer, Gary, and he's been importing airplane parts for us, and he gets them right through in the first week. So we got the radio there. We asked you to pray, and boy, within a week, we had it out of customs. And so we were there. Don and I were there, and we took a picture of it. This is in the back of Julio's car. Julio's an official radio tech. He lives in Santa Cruz. He teaches at the university in Santa Cruz. But he goes up north with us on Greg's airplane, and they took the transmitter up, and Greg helped him to install it. And so we got this radio that is broadcasting stronger. The original radio was 500 watts. This is a 1,000-watt crown radio from the people up at Sunset Solutions Ministry in Elkhart, Indiana. You might not know that name, Sunset Solutions. They were formerly known as HCJB. Thank you, Donna. HCJB. Anybody know, recognize that? That was a famous radio in Quito, Ecuador, that transmitted all around the world the gospel message. So this is just some more of the things that we are thankful for this year. The Lord has been doing amazing things. You're partners with this. You helped us buy that radio. You helped send Donna and I there so that we can help manage this work. And it just keeps going. There's more to do. Let me tell you, if you would like to go to Bolivia, we're willing to take you. The radio is just such a special, special thing when you're broadcasting over the jungle and all this, you don't have to go through the creepy crawlies to get this signal out there. You don't have to traipse through the jungle. It goes right over the top. So let's keep going on with these pictures as quickly as we can. I don't think we're going to be able to get through them all. We got 5 minutes? Or? Okay. All right. This is the riverboat. This is the riverboat ministry. This is a team going on. That's how many people travel on the riverboat at one time, normally. There's usually about 30 people that go out on the riverboat. This is a medical mission. These guys are doctors, nurses, dentists. Sometimes veterinarians go with us, and they work on people because the people we're going to in the villages have absolutely no medical help. They don't have dentists. They don't have anybody to come pull their teeth when they got a cavity. And that's all we can do. We pull a lot of teeth. That's what the dentists do. We don't have the equipment. We don't have the facilities to do anything more than that. But the doctors, the nurses, when they go and distribute the medicine for prenatals and people with worms and things like that, they are just so well received. They're so happy. There's suturing done. And then there's breakfast. This is breakfast. I brought this for Pastor Chad because he loves piranha. He likes the stories of piranha. And that's what we eat. when these guys go out on a mission like that, the first thing they do is they always take a couple guys that are good fishermen. And that's right out of the river for that team. They went out and they start eating piranha. The piranha always are biting. And they taste delicious. They're like trout. They're bony, but they're like trout. And we like piranha. Donna ate them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner before, all in one day. There's our boat, El Misionero. And there's the new little Liberator boat. It's called Liberator. And that boat is designed to liberate people from the bondage of Satan and set them free. Because when we go out with these medical teams, we don't just do medical work. We set up medical shop. But everybody that goes through the line gets a gospel witness. They hear that Jesus died for their sins, that Jesus rose again, and that by trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, they can have the free gift of eternal life. That's the gospel message. If you've never heard that, if you never trusted in Jesus, I would encourage you to consider that. Because we all need that all over the world. That Christ died for our sins is history. That's a historical fact. That he died for me personally, that's salvation. When I trust in him, that he died to take my sins away, to remove them as far as the east is from the west, that's salvation. And that's what we do. That's what we're all about. That's why we go to Bolivia. That's why we have a radio station. That's why there's an orphanage. That's why there's a riverboat ministry. It's because of these people here. They needed to hear that Christ died for them. Now there's a church planted in one of these little villages, just like this one. And not only that, but there's other things going on. Let's look at the other pictures. So churches are being planted. Our team members are going out on mission trips, even as we speak. And now they set up shop. And sometimes it's in just a grass-roofed arbor like that, dirt floor. But, and the chickens are clucking, the pigs are squealing. And over the ruckus of it all, the gospel is presented. And these kids are coming to know Christ as Savior. We have the privilege of taking North Americans down with us. And if you speak Spanish, then you're welcome to go and go hut to hut and share Jesus with the villagers. And they are so happy to hear it. They don't shun you. They don't turn you off. They're not rude. They always receive us as we share Christ. There's George there sharing the gospel with these folks right in this village. And Donna on the riverboat. This is Nurse Donna, by the way. I don't know if you realize that we call her Nurse Donna when we go on the riverboat because she's helping the doctors organize all the medicines, and they're putting her to work as a nurse because they didn't have any nurses on the trip that we went on last year. So they dubbed her Nurse Donna. They said, okay, here's what you do. And she listened, and she followed instructions, and she did all kinds of things. She helped these boys and girls. And these guys are all coming on, and they're very scared of the dentist. They know what the dentist does. He's there to pull teeth. He's there to check to see if they need a tooth pulled. And that's what happens if in the end run. So if they don't have a cavity, then you should see them smile. But we always take the opportunity to round the kids up, share Christ with them, have a little gospel presentation, and people believe. They come to know Christ as Savior. Let's keep going through these as fast as we can. And so we come to baptism time. When people believe, when they trust in Christ, they say, I want to identify with Christ that I'm going to follow him now. And so they start by being baptized. And I understand you have a new baptism here, a baptismal. Boy, that's exciting, isn't it? Another thing to be thankful for. Not only a church building, but a nice warm baptismal. I hope it's warm. But these waters are very warm. And here we have the doctor staff all lined up because people have trusted in Christ on one of these medical trips. And now they wanted to get baptized as soon as they got saved. They want to start following Jesus. Isn't that great? Wow. Now these guys, I don't know if you can see these, but these are Bibles. These are Schofield Study Bibles in Spanish. And they not only got saved in this ministry, but they went on to be discipled, and they had to pass a certain course that the pastors had set up. They put in all their time, all of their study work, all their homework was done, and as a result, they got a certificate that they went through this discipling program. And the end result was they were able to get a study Bible that people donated from the United States. If you ever want to have a really cool ministry to the Bolivian people, there's no way they can afford this $44 study Bible. That's what they cost here that we took down. They're at different prices at different times on Amazon, but these cost $44 each. That's a huge amount to them when they're only making $300 a month. They don't have enough left over from after they buy the beans and rice for their family, a little bit of maybe feed for their chickens and hogs or something. So we come to the riverboat. This is the property where the riverboat is moored in Guayra, Medellin, and we had to do some special work last month on it because they're going to take the boat out of the water and dry dock it here. And so we had to get some heavy equipment in there, and we had to bring in some dirt and gravel, and the trucks brought it in. I think we got a picture here of the trucks working and the tractors, and we had to bring in 25 loads of dirt and gravel, and that was just a start on the first day. Then we had another 16 loads the second day, and then we ran out of money. So we just started leveling it across, and then we had some of our, I told you about the missions committee. There's 12 guys from 5 different churches that formed a missions committee, and I want to show you here's the board of directors of the missions committee. Here's the board of directors. And I get to sit on the board too. So if you're going to be on that board, it's going to be a board of action. Not a board of directors, but a board of action. And this is them. Here they are. They are getting this property ready. So there's El Missionero right there, the big green boat. We're going to pull it up out of the water. We're going to raise it up. And then we're going to take the hole off of the boat, the bottom part of the boat. It's going to be removed, and a new hull is going to be installed. And so it takes a lot of work to get this ready, just the property ready, to bring it up and pull it out. We're going to use a tractor. It's going to come out on the 4th of December. So that's something that we have to pray for. We're grateful for this property. We're grateful for the house. We're grateful for our co-workers here. Isn't it great to have a board of directors that actually do that type of work too? Boy, they are just astounding. I am so energized when we go to Bolivia to be around these guys because they all pull together. They're tugging and they're pulling together to get a job done. So we're grateful. Here's the back of from looking up from the river up to the house, and the property is almost ready now. We purchased the rest of the gravel and dirt. This is the hull. This is what it's going to look like. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Now, I'm going to enlist your help to pray for this. We need a new hull on that riverboat. It'll cost about $4,000. These guys surprised me. They went out to the jungle. They went out on a mission trip before we got there in October. And they were just coming back when we arrived. And they were carrying all of these boards up. Not these boards, but other boards. Just like these, though. They were carrying them up out of the riverboat, onto the shore, up to the house, to store them in the house. And it's because they said that we needed to build a new hull. Well, instead of waiting for me to do something, they took it upon themselves to go on a missions trip to a village that had all of these jungle hardwood trees growing outside the village. They cut them down, they milled them with chainsaws, and they brought all of these planks up, all of these boards that look just like these, and they're sitting in our missionary guest house now, ready to be built into a new hull, because this hull was done 10 years ago. And now it needs to be replaced because it's deteriorated through all the jungle heat, the humidity. Pastor Saul is a friend in action. He's one of our guys. He's actually an associate member. He's an associate missionary with Friends in Action. He's our point guy. And Jessica knows him. He's the leader of the orphanage. And he works at the orphanage full time. But he also works with us on the riverboat. And he works with us with all of the people. He's pastoring all the people all around him all the time. So I called Pastor Saul, and I asked him, Saul, this week, and I said, is there anybody that's in special need? Because Bolivia is in a state of crisis. They've been on strike for a month, and people have been not able to work. And he says, Pastor Manuel, this is Manuel Bravo. Pastor Manuel is in charge of the riverboat ministry now. He oversees it. He does all the direction of it. He manages all of the teams that are coming and going. He goes on about half of the trips, but he works with them very closely. Pastor Manuel is married to a gal named Gladys. Gladys has some physical problems right now. Pastor Saul told me Pastor Manuel here is in need of some financial help. So if you're going to help anybody, he said, please see if you could help Pastor Manuel. So that's the other prayer request we have. We have a prayer request for the boat work. We have a prayer request for Pastor Manuel. Because with this political crisis that's happened in Bolivia the past month, they got rid of their old president, and it was a real hardship they went through to do this. The whole country went on strike to get rid of him. He was a communist dictator. And there's no way he was going to just leave. But through a series of events, the country went on strike, came to a standstill. Nothing was done for a month. People were out of work. And some people, like Pastor Manuel, are hurting now because of that. They're very supportive of what the people of Bolivia did. They're very supportive. But some are just in need now. So pray for Pastor Manuel, okay? And in closing, we have one more slide, I think. Just one more. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to you. This is a special week. I want to thank you for sending Jessica. I want to say thank you for being part of Friends in Action in Bolivia. You guys are special. You are really partners in the gospel going to the people of Bolivia, the remote peoples that haven't ever heard it before. So thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to express that this week of Thanksgiving to you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this church, Covail Community Church, how you've blessed them with this new building. I want to say thank you for all your blessings this past year. You've been so rich towards us, Father. You've You've given us all we needed. You've met all of our needs, and you've even blessed us abundantly beyond what we need. But Father, we ask you right now if you would just be willing to use us. Use us more, Father, in helping those less fortunate in the world than us too. Those people in the developing countries like Indonesia, like Bolivia, like Uganda in Africa. Father, we pray for these dear, dear people that need a little help right now. During our Thanksgiving, we pray that we would be those people that would stand the gap and that you could use in a significant way in days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.